Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
You know what I think I'm going to do then? Just for the hell of it. Tell me. I'm going to take this right foot, and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. And you want to know something? There's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do about it.
Really?
Really?
Just a quick little notation here. On Mondays, we don't guest it up. No. That is strictly enforced. We do not guest it up on Mondays. It's 3 hours of any which way it wants to go, it's going to go. Does that make sense? It's supposed to make sense. Hopefully that did. Hopefully that wordsmithing worked well. Hopefully it flowed nicely. There's a bunch to get to today. Oh, Balls of Steel. Try to drag that out a little bit. Hour number 3. Don't post them early because it just gets lost on the timeline. Yes. Let me go ahead and give you week 4 OOP. Now, we'll be looking at this past Saturday mainly today. But on Sunday, I put out the latest OOP. If you don't know what that is, that would be order of preference. It's my order of preference. It might not be yours. It might not be the one you would post. If you have one, post it. But I've got the Aggies and the Hogs in the one slot. I've got the Irish and Wisconsin number 2. They play in Chicago this Saturday. I've got the Vols and Gators. Now, that's a little bit of nostalgia. Obviously, that matchup does not have the current, what would the term be? The current social equity that it once had. Back in the 90s, mainly because of Tennessee. Yeah, I'll isolate it out and say mainly, but the Gators haven't been a national threat either. But Tennessee has been well below even that, and as we know, Florida has dominated that head to head. Now, some of you are going to say, Bill, what about Florida coming off Saturday? We'll get into that. No. We'll get into that. I've got the Kansas State and Oklahoma State game, number 4. That's the Cats versus the Mullet. And I've got West Bygod versus Oklahoma in the 5 slot. Again, that's just my order of preference. You may have a different order there. That is perfectly understandable. But I post what I post, you post what you post, right? That's the way that works. 615-844-5600. And on Twitter, at Bill is King. Email the show, BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Tell you what I'm going to do. Tell you what I'm going to begin the show with. I'm going to get a couple of calls in here. There's no set rule about the way I start the show. Most of the time, it's going to be me in a monologue of some sort talking about whatever it might be. College football probably related, right? But there's no rule that says I can't start the show with a couple of calls. We've got 3 hours to backfill everything today. We have 3 hours every day. I think Josh did the math. Over about 30 years, I've probably put in 10 trillion words, maybe 20 trillion, on the show. Josh up in London, Ohio. Yeah, he did the math one day. I think it was infinity trillion is what it was, the number of words I put in on this show. So I've done the mileage, and the tires are still in good shape, still in very good shape here on the show. Trey down in Natchez, Mississippi. Welcome in, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you, my friend?
We are well. Thank you.
I'm not the one. First of all, we shouldn't have put ourselves in a situation where the refs had to be involved. However, what a bunch of tic-tac BS, Bill. What was that?
He's talking Mississippi State, Memphis. It was a punt, and the official behind the play had stopped the clock, and Memphis player scooped the ball up, went the other way, scored it. And you know something? The year that Tennessee and Peyton Manning, which would have been 96, I think, lost to Memphis down there, they never, ever lost to Memphis, there was a return similar to that. Now, it was different in that it looked like the player was down. His knee was down. They were twins out of Chattanooga that played for Memphis. Anyways, I know that's over 20-something years ago. But, yeah. And the SEC has come back and said that the play should have been stopped.
Agreed. And two number fours on the field. You know, that's my argument.
Right.
You got two fouls, same play. My other question, Bill, is the onside kick. So that the review was the ball touched.
Right.
When were you able to go review a play and say, oh, well, we see a penalty now, so we'll call the penalty? Never heard of it, Bill. Never heard of it.
There was some really shaky officiating across the board. The Penn State-Auburn game was another one, and I'm sure we'll get into that later too. But it was a bad weekend for officiating, yes.
It was. We needed that win, though, Bill. We, you know, a bowl game is the end game for me as a real fan. You know, that's one of those games that puts you at the 6-win mark. I don't know what to do now. Can we sneak by LSU? I don't know. The defense is playing great. Not understanding why. I think Mike's playing a little conservative, and I don't know why. You know, we get one drive, two plays, touchdown. I don't understand why we're not going down the field a little more.
Right. Mike is real stubborn. He's also very, very good. But if he gets on a stubborn streak, Mike will not listen. Mike Leach will not listen to anybody. And the more he hears, the more he tightens up. Now, I don't expect that because Mike is a very loose play caller historically. And he likes to let it all hang out, right? But he can get stubborn just to make a point. I know Mike well enough.
He's a great guy, Bill. I think we'll do fine, but I had to vent, and I appreciate you lending me your ear, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Take care, Bill.
Down in Hugh Green country, Natchez, Mississippi, which is on the Louisiana border, over to Oklahoma City. Okay. What's up, Scott?
Morning, Bill.
Morning.
Did you happen to catch that interception?
Yes. Incredible. One of the most incredible one-handed. And then he was able to hold it and scoop under it. And it, incredible. He's talking about the Oklahoma game this past weekend.
Yeah, that's the interception of the year. I don't care if it's NFL or college. That's going to be the interception of the year. And it's funny, it would have been better if he'd have dropped it at least, you know, for field position, but I'm glad he caught it because that's a great highlight. I think I've watched that about 20 times.
Who was it Spencer Rattler in the picture? And his mouth was wide open in amazement watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a side-by-side pic. I saw, I think it was on Facebook, I saw someone posted of him, the interception, and then the next picture next to it was Spencer Rattler in this just amazed look. But, you know, we needed something positive for that day. You know, Oklahoma has not lived up to the hype so far this year. You know, in week one, our defense couldn't get it together, but our offense was clicking. And I'm not counting Western Carolina game because that's just – I don't even like playing those kind of games. But then against Nebraska, our defense played well, I thought, but our offense never seemed to be in sync. So I'm hoping they can pull it together because, you know, when you look at the hype that, you know, like Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, neither one of those three teams have lived up to the preseason hype. I mean, to be honest with you, in the Big Ten, I think Penn State's playing the best ball. And in the Big 12, I think Iowa State's playing the best ball. Hell, I don't know who to pick in the ACC because Clemson has no offense so far this year. But, you know, I'm glad that we're 3-0, but I don't like the direction that I'm seeing us going. You know, one week we got the defense going, one week we got the offense. We got to get them both going, especially going into Big 12 play. And I was just curious, if you could leave me on the line for a minute and let me listen. I was just curious how much of Oklahoma you've seen this year, and if you think I'm just being too hard on them or what.
No, I watch every. I've got every game on. And they don't look, as you are suggesting, like a national threat right now. And I could probably point to both sides of the ball, but the offense is not in flow right now. The weaponry's there, as far as I can tell. I know all the players, but it's just not clicking consistently. I thought Eric Gray looked good, particularly early on. He's the Tennessee transfer from Memphis at running back. By the way, Ty Chandler, the other running back at North Carolina, who transferred from Tennessee, ran up and down the field, too, on Saturday for them. But I'm with you. It's not all there right now for Oklahoma. Week three, you don't necessarily have to be all there, but I don't see it right now. Look, we could even add Alabama to the group that at least at the moment – up 21-3, and they hit these flat spots this year where the offense gets bogged down, and Florida had a chance to win that bowl game, which I didn't think would be the case. So you could pretty much point out anybody right now with some flaws that could be fatal.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Bill. Ask your producer to leave me on for just a few minutes so I can listen for a few minutes.
All right. Hey, Patton, just put him on hold. All good. All good. And we'll get into that. Yeah. Couple calls to just get everything started today. 615-844-5600. That's the F&M Bank hotline. Broadcasting from the Strike and Spare Studios. The Wilco kiosk location of the show. Bowls of Steel, hour number 3. Well, there's a bunch to get to. By the way, people suggesting this is 07. This is not 07, y'all. Stop it. Stop that right now. Not going to put up with that. We are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The police still gathered up on the scene of that wreck at Union Hill at Greer Road. That's going to be in the Jolton area. 2300 block at M Hill Pike over in Donaldson. They're still gathered up on the scene of that particular crash. Traffic's on the increase now on 65 coming up through Brentwood, Franklin. 40 still looks good through Kingston Springs. Just watch your speed coming in from Dixon County. Hey, Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at GatlinburgWineCellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through, ordering online, or pulling up curbside, Slim's has you covered.
With three locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. Bob's Steak and Chop House offers the classic steakhouse experience. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. Open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And they've got complimentary valet parking available. Bob's Steak and Chop House, located 5th Avenue downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Over the bag of Cheetos.
Perry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
He spends more time staring at depth charts than any man in any universe ever. It's Bill King.
Hey, Bill. Sunday morning, I woke up to the realization that my sanctioned crippled Nittany Lions might be the best team in the Big Ten. And I am simply amazed. I think calling the Big Ten pathetic is a compliment.
All right, let's do it. Let's get into that Alabama-Florida game a little bit. Game was much closer than I thought it would be. Now, it wasn't close originally. It was 21-3. And Florida started coming back. Not only that, but they got physical. I like that. Florida got physical. The running game was effective. Emory Jones was playing his best ball. That's the best we've seen Emory Jones play. And, of course, he hadn't had that much of an opportunity heretofore, meaning as a starter. This is the year for him. But that was an impressive game for Emory Jones. They did not play Anthony Richardson. I kind of thought that would be the case. When they announced he was a go, I doubted that. Hamstring like that, those are very cantankerous. Anyways, didn't need him, really. I mean, I guess he could have made some big plays, too, because he's that kind of explosive athlete. But, and Alabama, their offense has a lot of weaponry, but they get bogged down. They're still trying to sync it up. They're not quite synced up yet. I do think that's coming for them. Defensively, they've got some issues. And I'm hearing a lot of people complain about Pete Golding, just like Buckeye fans complain, not to the level yet that Buckeye fans are complaining about Kerry Coombs, but they're just not as stable defensively as you would think Alabama would be as a Nick Saban coach team. Now, they've had some issues last year, Nick even admits, as good as that team overall was that won the national championship, they weren't what they should be defensively. It's been a problem a couple of years, and you hear a lot of people talking about Pete Golding. But they're still the team to beat, folks. And week three, nobody needs to be the best team in the nation. That's not where you prove it. You keep getting better, and you wouldn't want to have anybody else leading you but Nick Saban. Now, to Florida, that was an impressive game. I don't want to go too far in measuring that, but that was an impressive game. In the swamp against Alabama and with a chance to win that bowl game. I did not think that would be the scenario. I thought it would be a double-digit type game. And final scoreboard does not reveal that. Not at all. So if I'm a Gator fan, I'm excited. I'm excited about what I saw. And you already knew you were well coached. But that was, you need continuous proof, right? You need continuous proof. And you got a bunch of that in that game on Saturday. Penn State and Auburn, again, you could talk about the officiating. I won't get into that right now. But that game turned out about the way I thought. Go up to Happy Valley in a whiteout situation, and Auburn had their chances too. Turned out to be an 8-point bowl game. But I figured at home Penn State would win that bowl game. Penn State, are they the best team in the league? I'm not ready to go there yet. No, because the team with the most potential is Ohio State. Are you seeing it out of them totally yet? Probably not, even though Travion Henderson, the freshman, might have a little something to say about that, the running back, top-rated running back. That's another lesson, y'all. That's another lesson. Running back is the easiest by far position to evaluate a recruit. Usually, and there are exceptions, but usually what you think you see in a recruit is what they are. That's what we all thought we were seeing in Travion Henderson as a recruit, and he just rushed for, what was it, 243 yards? Correct me if I've got the number wrong, but up in the 200s, and he was very impressive. Anyways, back to Penn State, though, and Auburn. Auburn actually hung in there a little bit better than I thought, actually. They made that a better game than I thought it would be. The War Damn Eagle players and Coach Brian Harsin and company. Yeah, that one turned out a little better. The Notre Dame-Purdue game, I was shocked that Notre Dame won like that. 27-13. And defensively played better. Kyle Hamilton, y'all, the safety for Notre Dame, who was by far the best safety coming up in this next draft. He's a true junior. He's 6'4", 220. Made some ridiculous plays in this ballgame for them. He is by far the best looking DB safety type in college football right now. I don't even think it's close. But they played better. The offense played better. The offensive line got beat up. Purdue's defensive front, including number 5, who's a hell of a pass rusher for Purdue. I always get his name wrong. Those young tackles the left tackle, Tosh Baker's young. The right tackle, Josh Lug, is a fifth-year guy. Got bull rushed, got out-athleted, everything. But that was an impressive win. That was over Purdue. Notre Dame's not going to have a big year this year. But that was a game. Notre Dame was favored by 8. Most everybody took Purdue in that one. That would have been a loser. I would have taken Purdue. If I would have bet that game, I would have taken Purdue plus the 8. That would have been an L in that one. Again, Notre Dame's got a long way to go, but that was a little bit better than we've been seeing out of them. I'm not trying to be too complimentary with them. Anything else? Yeah, we can get into the Buckeyes. Michigan obviously looked good. Michigan is playing a physical brand of ball. And again, we can talk about who they're playing to date, but it doesn't matter. They're playing a very physical brand, And it's the Harbaugh way. When Harbaugh is right, that's what it looks like right now. That's exactly what it looks like. Southern Cal, isn't it kind of a repeating historical situation? Maybe not deep historical, but recent history, where they lose a quarterback, hot shot, and then the next guy comes in. Jackson Dart comes in for an injured Keaton Slovis, looks fantastic for Southern Cal. Minus Clay Helton in the Washington State game. Stanford came in here and beat Vanderbilt handily, particularly once we got into the second half of that ball game. Anyways, 615-844-5600 if you'd like to get in today. On Twitter, at Bill is King. Jeff in the borough.
What's happening, Bill?
Good morning.
Interesting game, sir. I cannot believe Nebraska and Oklahoma was that close. It was 7-3 at halftime. What's going on? Could not believe it.
Yeah, Oklahoma is not synced up. When you think about them, you think about, first, their offense, Lincoln Riley and all that, and they're not there yet.
They should have ran them down the field. It should have been 50-3 or something. It shouldn't have been that close. But there's some interesting games. Like you said, Notre Dame, Wisconsin game will be interesting. In Chicago, they play Soldier Field. That'd be an interesting game to watch and everything. So, but Clemson kind of struggled a little bit. They had some delays. You know, they beat Georgia Tech. So, but Alabama couldn't run the ball against Florida. So that's their biggest weakness there. They couldn't run it. They threw it all over the place, but couldn't run the ball. So, I didn't watch a whole lot of college football Saturday. But what about Western Michigan, Bill, beating Penn? How about that?
I was monitoring that, too, yeah.
My Western Michigan beat, and how about West Virginia beat Virginia Tech? That's a pretty good one there. So, they got a good one this week, I guess. West Virginia does. And how about them Bruins, Bill, Fresno State beats UCLA?
Johnny Vegas was telling us all week, circle that game, and that will tell you what you need to know about the Pac-12, this Fresno State-UCLA game. And that coach who came from Sioux Falls, what's he, in year two or three there, is doing a heck of a job at Fresno State.
Also, one final thing, Bill. Louisville won Florida State this weekend. What do you think? Louisville wins on that pick six last week. Think they can beat Florida State.
Florida State's in the tank. Yeah, Florida State.
0-3 for the first time since 1976.
You'd be better off playing Louisville Ballard than Florida State right now.
Tampa. So I told you, grandkids, they want to root for a winner, son. They want to be the BBN, son. Come on up to Lexington. Watch your winning football team. Don't stay down in Tallahassee, son. Come up and watch Stoops, baby. He's the best. He was formerly at Florida State. He wants to go somewhere real. He don't want to stay down in Tallahassee, them losers. Told you, babe. He must be with BBN. We got Gamecocks this weekend, so we'll see if we can go to Columbia and get us a win. We won Saturday, did enough to win, so that's all that matters. Don't make no difference. We're 3-0, and Florida State 0-3 for the first time in 45 years. He might have you a football team soon, Alan. Get you one, son. Call in and give me some comments. Have a good day, Bill.
That high-pitched Jeff of the Borough doesn't work for me. Georgia was very impressive in that South Carolina game. Georgia is Georgia might be clicking better than anybody right now. Again, it's week three. We're not drawing ultimate conclusions. Keep in mind, y'all. Keep in mind, whatever is said on this show by the host on the show is current to week three. This is not the day to draw ultimate sweeping conclusions on what we're going to be watching in December or whatever. Week three does not define the year. It's another week. It's matchups where we can evaluate teams, but ultimate conclusion time is not now. You got to be careful there, y'all. I'll let you know when it's ultimate conclusion time. We ain't there, as we would say in the South. We're not there yet. Topwater Assassin over in South Carolina. Bill, does defense still win championships? I'm asking for Clemson Nation. Clemson is shockingly limited offensively right now. I don't recall the last time watching Clemson that they have so apparent few weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They just can't, in basketball terms, they can't score the ball. They don't have weapons, plural, that worry you right now. And Dabo Sweeney even said, I saw a quote over the weekend, he said, we kind of are what we are. This is what we've got. We're putting our best guys out there. Conclude what you want, but this is what we are. They are not scary, weaponry-wise, offensively. And he's saying the depth chart is the depth chart. There's not a secret weapon that's going to sneak out of the locker room anytime soon. Shockingly deficient, weaponry-wise, offensively, the Clemson Tigers. Josh said Bill Henderson ran for 277. I stand corrected. What did I say? 243. So I cut him about 34 yards there. The ultimate stat sheet has the right numbers on it, though. Time up in Milwaukee. Bill, if the Alliance was the Axis, then the ACC would be Italy. I don't know enough about history to know what that means. But it sounded good. Perry Mason from the Orange Groves of America. Bill, need one more recruiting class under Dan, and it's coming. Talking about Dan Mullen. He says, I think the stereotype that Alabama is the only one who can reload is what made us a 15-point dog. Not the swamp. Not going to happen in the swamp. That was a better game than I. Look, I thought that would be an Alabama win where the fourth quarter was not a question mark. I thought Alabama would be up in that game in the fourth quarter, 38-17, something like that. And the game's done. Yeah, they've got to, one of the moments from the week, there are a lot of moments from the weekend, right? But when Alabama, it was the first half, I believe, right? Yeah, first half, Alabama has 12 men on the field, and they call a last-minute timeout, and you can see Saban on the sideline getting purple and red and mad, and he says, F-bomb Pete. Except he said the word. Pete Golding. Yeah, even Alabama fans have an issue with one of the coordinators. That's been a love-hate affair with him for several years now. That's not new. Yeah, it's not new. It's just rekindling right now. Believe I'll equip a Bob's on hold. We'll get to him when we continue. Balls of Steel. Perry Mason broke a rule. He put a Balls of Steel already in there. So that's one demerit for him. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic's on the increase right now, leaving Sumner County, coming through Hendersonville on Vietnam Vets all the way to 65. Traffic still not too bad through Kingston Springs, just wide. Your speed this morning down I-40 coming in through parts of Dixon County and from Hickman County as well. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg. It's happening September 24th through October 31st. Log on today, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Bird. Thursday Night Football is only on NFL Network.
No time it is everything you got.
We're here for a storied rivalry with the game's brightest stars.
What an impressive run with a stiff arm.
Saquon is back, giving the Giants renewed hope.
What a game he's had.
But Chase Young has his squad ready to defend the division crown.
I'm not losing.
It's an NFC East showdown.
Woo, there, baby.
That's big time there.
Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8, only on NFL Network.
Hi, I'm Marcus Scribner. The way we treat others affects us all, and that includes the way we treat animals. Cruel treatment of animals overseas led to the pandemic crisis, killing 1 million people worldwide. Environmental destruction, pollution, and poaching have killed endangered wild species. Our world today is a poorer place for people to live and inhumane for both people and animals. Fight back. American Humane created a 10-point plan to help animals, people, and the world we share. From ending the dog and cat meat trade to universal humane standards for farms, zoos, entertainment, and animal transport. Together, we can make a difference. Join the fight for our animal friends. Go to AmericanHumane.org today and sign our new deal for animals. For a kinder, safer, and healthier world for all of us.
Greg Pogue back once again to tell you about Bongo Java, Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company, located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just inside the 5th Avenue entrance across from the Music City Center. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving a fresh, locally roasted coffee, classic, handcrafted espresso drinks, and fresh baked goods. Open every morning at 7 until 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and noon on Sunday, Bongo Java adds to that great Omni Nashville Hotel experience.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue.
I'm Craig Ladd.
And I'm Coach Bubba Spears.
Listen each Saturday morning at 8 for the 10th season of Prep Football Talk presented by Freeman Webb.
Every Saturday, we will get you up to date on all the scores, shine a spotlight on one of the area's top players and his coach, feature a prep legend of the week, and get you set for the upcoming week.
Prep Football Talk, also brought to you by the U.S. Army, Gary Force Acura, Tim Leeper Roofing, Valentino's Restaurante, Goggin Cold Hall, the Nashville Scene, and Sam's Sports Grill and Sam's Place.
That's every Saturday morning at 8 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
He knows all there is to know about Johnny Five Star, and now you can too. It's Bill King.
What if I told you the head football coach at the University of Florida is being considered for the role of Cousin Eddie in the new National Lampoon's Vacation 2 movie? What if I told you his wife has kissed on more Florida players than Candy Fisher? What if I told you the first thing he bought after getting his new contract was a studio-quality Chewbacca mask? ESPC 30 for 30 presents Dan Mullen, the Darth Gator.
Gator fans pretty fired up. I gotta admit, I was watching Twitter and everybody talking. Gator fans very encouraged, and I don't blame them from that Saturday matchup with Alabama. I'm not as down on Alabama as some right now. Alabama won the game, and it's depression time among some Alabama fans. Now, hey, they do have some issues, some clear issues. I'm not suggesting otherwise, but big picture, I'm still not down on Alabama. I still think they are the favorite to win it all. We'll see. Georgia's playing well. And again, week three is not the time to draw ultimate conclusions other than Alabama was the favorite from the beginning. We'll see. We'll see if that holds up. May or may not. Aliquippa Bob, what's up, sir? Welcome in.
Good morning, Bill. Got a lot to go over this morning after that game Saturday. But first off, I gotta tell you, everyone, please, wings for Wayman.
Yes.
And especially Penn State Nation. You know, we've always had a real good respectful rivalry with Alabama from a distance. And look, you know, Waven's an Alabama guy. I'm an Alabama fan, so please try to donate to him. And he's doing a lot better. I was kind of jagging him the other day because he's telling me about these nurses giving him sponge baths and all that good stuff. And I told him, I said, quit milking it and get home. You're scared to live in daylights out of all of us. So if you can please donate to Wings for Wayman on GoFundMe, we would really appreciate that. Hey, Bill, you know what? I think that whiteout game may have been one of the most entertaining games that we're going to see all year. Hats off to Auburn. Tank Bixby, I wasn't sure what this guy was going into this game, but his running style, his cutting really kept Auburn in that game. He is one exceptional talent, and so is the Hunter kid. I think his first name is Jacques Hunter. Just tremendous. Bill, I don't think Auburn is the 23rd ranked team in the country. I think they should be a lot higher. That being said, I think they played a very good game. But Penn State too, Bill. I think Yurcich has done an exceptional job with Sean Clifford, who is a real question mark coming into this year. And Clifford went 28 for 32, threw 280 yards, two touchdown passes. And he threw a meaningless interception at the end of the first half. But, and the other thing that surprised me about Penn State is how physical they are, Bill. They're playing a physically – they've played two knockdown, drag-out physical games with Wisconsin and now Auburn. And they're playing very well. I mean, I don't think we're the best team in the Big Ten yet. I mean, you got to go to Iowa to play in about 3 weeks, which is that is a murderous environment. And then you have to go into the horseshoe to play Ohio State. So, time will tell whether that statement comes through. But congratulations to both teams. It was a very, very, very entertaining game.
How did James Franklin, I want to know, and I didn't listen to the post game, but how did Penn State let the officials force them to punt on third down? I still don't understand that.
Well, Bill, Franklin and the coaching staff complained, and the officials came over and said, no, it was third down. And it's a non-reviewable call from what I understand. But, that was where I was going next, Bill. Bill, I never say officiating influences a game. You know that, and I've said that in the past. But I got to tell you, Greg Sankey, I got a message for you. You have the best league. You're by far and away the best conference, the most well-managed conference. But you need to take a serious look at your officiating. How do you lose a down, Bill? You have 8 to 10 officials in the booth, on the field, wherever, that are each clocking the down. How do you lose a down? But that's not it, Bill. Let's look at some of these other ones. It should have never been called intentional grounding on Clifford to begin with. It was a broken off route. It was a mistaken route. Clifford's under no duress whatsoever. How do you call that intentional grounding? Then you turn around and Penn State in the fourth quarter runs a fake punt in the TV replay, because I recorded the game. I watched it again. The pile clearly moved a couple of yards past the first down marker, and then you can clearly hear the whistle. And when they show up from the sideline, the far side official standing there until everybody's clearly past the first down marker and then comes in. How do you do that? How do you miss? And then on replay, you miss it? And then you don't call grounding on Nicks when he's clearly not outside the tackle box. But the one that really got my donut, Bill, the one that gets the donut is, how do you call targeting on that kid from Auburn? I think his name's McLean, number 9. You have Washington catches a pass. He's about a foot off the ground. He's twisting his body, and he's headed for the end zone. And McLean comes in and hits him with his shoulder and his back to stop him. It was a very physical, rough, brutal hit. How do you throw that kid out of the game for targeting, Bill? How do you do that? Someone needs to explain that to me. And Greg Sankey, your officiating is a black mark on your conference, and you need to do something about it, sir.
So, Bob, appreciate
it, man. I'm not complaining about that. But, okay, Bill.
Yeah. Pop in the Mississippi State-Memphis game. Not a good weekend for the SEC when it comes to officiating. Not at all. There's the music. Got to get the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Right now, I'm looking live at this crash out here going eastbound on Briley Parkway at Whites Creek Pike. Two cars up against the wall. It may have some injuries, actually, on Briley Parkway here. 24 eastbound near Whites Creek Pike. They're reporting an accident there. It's going to affect you coming in from the Jolton area. Again, that's 24 eastbound at Whites Creek Pike and this one that we're looking at here on Briley Parkway at Whites Creek Pike. Oktoberfest at Obergatlinburg. It's happening September 24th through October 31st. Log on to Obergatlinburg. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. Simple Green is perfect for making your auto, RV, cycling, boating, and other sporting equipment look like new. Visit them at simplegreen.com.
Baseball, the Braves opening a series with the Diamondbacks on the road. Tuki Toussaint getting the start for Atlanta against Luke Weaver for Arizona. Braves minus 152 on the money line. Arizona plus 120, the over-under 9.5. Monday night football, the Packers and Lions each looking for their first win. Green Bay an 11.5-point favorite at home, the over-under 48.5. The end of the Major League Baseball season in sight. The Dodgers are still the odds-on favorite to win the World Series at plus 330. The Brewers now behind them at plus 450, followed by the Giants at plus 475, the Rays at plus 500, and the Houston Astros at plus 550. For VSiN.com, I'm Trey Westerberg, Nashville Sports Radio.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Showers and thunderstorms, highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, 50% chance of more rain, thunderstorms too. Cloudy skies otherwise, lows around 71. For Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, highs near 81. Tuesday night, showers and thunderstorms, 61. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, this is Rocky.
Sports Radio
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Tua. Do it another process. Tua. Maybe steal some crab legs or grope a female to get her approval. Tua. Forget about the crab legs and the co-ed, because you don't play for FSU. Tua. Pilot of the Death Star.
Jay Cutler's burner account this morning checking in says, Bill, the Big Ten now belongs to the man in the khakis with a whistle. Ohio State struggles with Tulsa and has the lowest attendance since Armageddon was in bell bottoms. 1971, Bill. Hey, a lot of empty seats. I saw that. Well, what's up with that? Was it just it's Tulsa, or are they boycotting Kerry Coombs, or what's up? You Buckeyes who were at the game can tell me about that. We'll get a call here before we get to the top of the hour. Again, Bowls of Steel Hour number 3. Scotty, welcome in.
Good morning. Good rainy Monday morning, I guess I could say. Brother Bill, how are you?
Good morning. Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
As a lifelong Tennessee fan, I was kind of hoping Florida would actually pull an upset so they might have a little bit of a chance. But I think they're going to go down there, the Vols, and they are going to get something put on them Ajax. Probably won't wash off. They're ready. Mullins got those cats ready, and all Alabama done is piss them off. And I don't think Tennessee could catch them at a worse time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida's going to be alert for this game. Now, maybe the players don't have historical perspective on this because they weren't living in the 90s when this actually was a good series. But
yeah, I know. We're old.
Yeah. Tennessee has fared so poorly in that game. I don't have a lot of faith that they'll be in it late or anything. I really don't. I mean, they usually get – a couple of years ago, Butch beat them, and that's about it. Since what? Since Ron Zook. So, I don't have a lot of faith.
Oh, well, unfortunately, I don't either. But I think Heupel will be okay if they'll give him the same amount of time that Kentucky's given Stoops to build a program. But not having a quarterback is really going to be exposing, I think, this weekend, sadly, for us. But I just wanted to get your take on it. And I don't know who's going to take the Penn State job when Franklin goes to USC. Have a good one, Bill.
See ya.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate the call. Wow. Already got that going this morning. And I was looking at the numbers yesterday, and I didn't memorize them. I was looking at the spreads. And let me see. Notre Dame's getting 6.5, I should say, in that game in Chicago. They're playing in Chicago against Wisconsin. I'm trying to find the Tennessee number here. Georgia's coming to the 615. They're favored by 31. Now, these are from yesterday. Florida minus 22 is the number I'm looking at. And again, these are a day old, so they may not be as updated as they need to be. That's the number I had there. Julia pulled something up earlier. And let me scroll down. I saw it right before the show. It's a poll, and it's from the Daily Caller. I'm not aware. Is the Daily Caller a sports? Never heard of it, but says the majority of fans prefer the college game to the NFL. She says, I don't normally quote this rag here, but here you go. What we do know, the NFL being number one has always been fake news. Well, here's all I know. About 25 years ago, or maybe even further back than that, probably 30 years ago, I realized that I really first started realizing it in the 70s growing up, but in this business, I realized that for me, the college game is superior. Now, that's for me. I can't speak for everybody, but I just know for me, I do not enjoy the Sunday game at all. If it wasn't on, I probably wouldn't even notice. Now, it's on because the kids are watching it and everything else, but I wouldn't really even notice. I'm a college guy. I love it. I love Fridays with the high schools. That's where my passion is. It's not in the pro game. And I realized in this business, and I rarely turn on other shows, anywhere, any city, anywhere, anytime. But when I do and it's all NFL, it's just such a turnoff. And that's what the majority of all the other shows do. You go to any decent-sized city, that's all they're doing. And I just can't stomach it. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't find it interesting. I don't find it mentally stimulating. None of the above. Now, that poll, as much as I love the college game, and will defend it to my death. I don't know if I believe that poll. I want to believe it, but I don't know if I believe it. Johnny Vegas down on the Emerald Coast. Bill, week three takeaways. Everybody looks beatable. Horrendous officiating, too. Yeah, the chalk, and Karen brought this up here in a tweet. The chalk isn't as mighty, at least through 3 weeks, as maybe some years. Clemson is not. Particularly now, offensively, Clemson is not what they are, typically. Buckeyes are not what they ought to be, mainly defensively, but they're still syncing up offensively, too. Now, Henderson, the true freshman out of Virginia with, what, guy says 277 yards. That's big for that offense. We knew he'd be the best running back, just didn't know when it would click. Oklahoma's not what they need to be. So I think she's right. Right now, we're not as strong chalk-wise as we think we are year to year. At least through 3 weeks. All right, we'll get some calls when we come back. Allen, I believe, is down there.